Good afternoon, this is Carolyn Moyle, Committee Assistant, Environment and Energy Committee. Today is Tuesday, July 12th, 3 p.m., Hearing Room F. Agenda for today includes a work session on Senate Bill 237 relating to marginal lands.
Meeting of Environment and Energy will come to order. For those of you sitting in here that are interested in the Sins Daily Bill, as it's commonly known, our 2509, we will not be dealing with that issue today. We are going to open the work session.
Can you just explain a little further? The Sins Dairy Bill, is that in this committee?
No. We are going to be having a work session only. And if you will, at the top of your bill, if you will delete 2509 and put 237, I would appreciate it. And put, now, this draft you have, I don't know if the pages will go in order. It was cut and pasted, and as you can feel by the paper, it is still warm.
Thank you.
I did talk with some members of the committee. About what we could do to keep the process going in the way I think the process works best by having a bill once it's sent over here, dealing with it in some manner or another. It seemed to me that the big hang-up on some people's part was the mandatory versus voluntary. These amendments go through and keep Section 2 as we worked on it with the farm operation produced $20,000 or more in annual gross income for marginal lands.
Madam Chair?
Representative True?
That restores the income test for marginal lands?
It restores the income test for marginal lands.
What page are you on?
One. On Section... On page three, you would be deleting section 8, that the amended goals may require local government to impose more stringent density or use restriction, and you would delete that, and on the back of that page it says, the provisions of this section shall not affect the applicability of any goals to a land use decision except the goals in agriculture and forest land.
Madam Chair?
Representative True.
Could you provide a brief description on what that change provides?
Well, since marginal lands will be doing something different with goals 3 and 5, in other words, it doesn't... 3 and 4. It does not... all the goals will still have to apply except for 3 and 4 because those are classified as marginal lands. But
okay.
Much of this as you've gone over page 7. We needed to change a woodlot, and so we've changed that. We have deleted on page 7 lines 19, 20, and 21 and have substituted language. Is a woodlot capable of continuing to gross an average over the gross cycle of 10,000 per year. That was the language taken from draft number 7.
Madam Chair. Madam Chair.
Representative Crane.
Looking at that language, I would think that it should say an average income.
Beth.
Representative Traynor, and I've gone over this with Elizabeth Normand, and she thinks the English is just a little bit messed up, and we'll change the language so that it reads better.
Okay. Including income, doesn't say.
Yeah,
income.
Average something.
Yeah, you have to understand this was done in a...
I recognize that. It just seemed like it ought to...
Yeah, you're right.
Just pointing out we need an average something in there.
Yes. Page 9.
Or litigation.
We went back to what the committee distressed, and on major change and measurably increased, we went back to significant, significant. On page 10, the same thing.
Madam Chair.
Representative Crahan.
Can I back up to page 7 again before we get off of that?
Sure.
Our private parks, playgrounds, and increasing preserves and campgrounds out.
They're in this draft.
I didn't hear his question.
He asked about whether private parks were in this draft and as allowed or as conditional uses.
Can you show me where?
Representative Tran, it's at the top of page 8. Community centers owned and operated by a governmental agency or a nonprofit community organization, hunting and fishing preserves, parks, playgrounds, and campgrounds. It does not distinguish between private and public.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
Somewhere in all of this, I saw a suggestion by someone that said it should read hunting or fishing preserves. Does that make sense, Elizabeth?
Yes.
Or Betty, or Beth?
I don't think it makes any difference. I'm sure it was just a drafting.
Can we make any amendments to this?
Well, let's go through it first, Representative Priestley, please.
Thank you. I'm not sure that language includes private.
It does.
The legal counsel said that it does. You don't distinguish between private and public on it.
Owned and operated by governmental agency or nonprofit?
That refers to community centers, Representative.
Community centers owned and operated by a governmental agency or a nonprofit organization. And then it goes on to say new language. Hunting and fishing preserves, parks, playgrounds, and campgrounds. All right. Can we go on to page 11? And it's significant, significant. Page
16.
A county governing body or its designate may require as a condition of approval on a single family dwelling that we put landowner for the applicant for
page
the dwelling.
Page number 16.
16. This is your amendment, Representative Van Leeuwen.
Okay, but I could not hear your page number.
16. Line 11, that the landowner for the dwelling sign a statement declaring the landowner will not in the future complain about instead of applicant. Okay.
It's a quick conference.
Okay. All right. Let me just finish, if I may, going through the bill. Page 19. Starting with section 16, this makes it voluntary.
Beginning with line 20 on page 19, section 16, you will notice at the bottom of your page that the next several pages are taken from the number 7 draft. This is the language that indicates that if you you do not have to take any portion of this bill, except for the reporting portion, but if you take the opt for the marginal lands portion of the bill, or if you opt for the EFU lot of record portion of the bill, then you must also take the EFU dwelling criteria. And essentially, other than that, it retains the optional requirements that were proposed by some of the representatives. Beginning with section 16, line 20, page 19.
Madam Chair.
Through page 23.
Through page 23 all come from proposed amendments from House Bill dash 7.
Madam Chair, page 20, line 5, public or private schools. Was there other language that was in there?
This is current. This current statute.
Current statute. Okay. Does it change?
I believe on ours, on section 17, just.
That must have. Something about buildings necessary for a school or something?
Not
no, that statute.
That's
Okay, this is current law, and this is what will be applied. Let me explain on Section 17, Representative Parkinson.
That is law now.
That is current law. That's what they will use unless they opt for the whole bill. Okay. That's all that is.
Madam Chair, is that a technique that's used in Ways and Means of spending too much money here? Or?
No, Madam Chair.
What page do we find?
Representative Hill.
On 19, once again, would you please go over Section 16, what it does?
Section 16. Says that this is voluntary, and if they adopt the marginal land steps, then they get the lots of record and the EFU stuff. Everything goes together other than the reporting.
It says may. Oh. If the county does not adopt the entire thing, it still may adopt EFU provisions. That's the way I read it. The word may in line 23.
Madam Chair.
Or may adopt Section 17, which is current language.
Okay.
Representative Kramer.
Madam Chair, would it be proper to ask for 5 minutes so we can just quietly sit and read through this?
No, that's fine.
I cannot.
Let's go through the last bit first.
Right, when we're done with the explanation.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The last bit. This is just current language that they would use if they did not opt to use this plan, right?
Yes, that's true. I asked Elizabeth Norman that, and she explained that she put it in here. I believe that those provisions were due to die, but I'm trying to get Elizabeth here now. I'm sure she'll say the same
thing. Well, Madam Chair, I think the bill earlier amends those provisions, so she had to build them back in because
right.
If the first part of the bill were passed, well, they would be amended, and she had to be able to say
right. But as long as because at originally that portion, the EFU was mandatory, which means you amend that whole thing. So if they don't use this portion of the bill, then they will follow the regulations under Section 17, page 20, 21, 22, and 23,
which is the current law.
Which is current language. Okay, and if you want to take 5 minutes, I know Representative Troop has to get back to a committee, and Representative Bradbury, you're back from your conference committee.
No, the Senate's in session, and they're carrying 2295 right now, so the conference committee was not held. So
Madam Chair?
At some point.
Representative Troop?
Could we speed read and take two so I can participate before I have to return to a committee that I have to chair at 3:30?
Yes.
That in for the test.
Let's ask. I'm not past it.
Of law of record, they have to adopt the other two concepts.
You know, if they use EFE law of record or marginal law of record, they have to adopt the entire package.
Yeah. Get all those things together.
Right. Still woefully insufficient and totally unacceptable without a date, of course, but just wanted to know.
You need to know what you put it there.
Right.
You can vote.
Oh, well.
It wasn't a help.
Right.
And my dad is adopted and said,
right.
Maybe you should have.
Yeah, I'll be the only one in the committee that survived this vote. Madam Chair.
Representative Truitt.
Could we proceed?
Yeah. Madam
Chair.
Representative
Trahan. If we're ready to proceed, I know Representative Truitt has not heard. I have one question, and it's something we've discussed time after time, and I'm not sure we ever came to a conclusion. And that is on page 2, lines 4, 5, and 6. I'm still interested in looking at the 85 cubic feet per acre in Jackson and Josephine County, and I don't remember whether the committee made a decision on it. Could you refresh me?
I don't remember that we made a decision, and I thought we did one thing. Ms. Sampson thought we did another. So if you would like to make a motion and re-vote on that, we could do that right now.
I would move that we limit the 50 cubic feet to east of the Cascades, and that the 85 be for the western part of the state.
Representative Trahan moves that we do 50 feet east of the Cascade, 50 cubic feet, and 85 west of the Cascade Range, the summit.
Madam Chair?
Representative Trahan.
Call for the question.
East of Cascade plus.
Any discussion?
Just let's
that
do it again, will you? 50 cubic feet, what?
East 85.
Here it would say
east 50
east
cubic feet, west
85
cubic feet.
And west would
we've
be
discussed that
so
many times,
Jackson,
and I apologize. I don't remember how we voted in the committee on that.
Madam Chairperson?
Representative Priestley.
I think the forester pointed out to us that the 50 is more appropriate for down there.
We will vote on that. Representative Hill?
I'd like to suggest we go page by page, just as a procedure. We do it after this vote. Proceed in order of attachment.
Yeah, Tom hasn't got the time.
I have about 60 seconds left.
All right.
Madam Chair, is it reasonable that if a big glitch was discovered in the next 24 hours, the committee's attention would be...
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Clerk, would you call the roll?
On what?
The motion to have it 50 on east of the Cascades, 85 west of the Cascades.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Parkinson?
Aye.
Representative Priestley?
No.
Representative Traeger?
Aye.
Representative Truth?
No.
Representative Van Loon?
Aye.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Bradbury?
No.
I'll change to no, ma'am.
Okay.
Chair Lilly?
Aye. Motion passes.
Madam Chair?
Representative Parkinson?
George got 35 cubic feet more. Couldn't I get 35
cubic feet? Any objections?
Madam Chair?
Motion fails. Representative Bradbury?
There was an amendment that we were discussing at one time.
Douglas County?
Related to the size of the lot required to site a farm-related dwelling, and I'm sorry I don't have the page. I guess it's on page 7. And right now it says it has to be at least 20 acres, and it can't be any smaller than the average farm or woodlot in the county producing, you know.
Right.
There was some language being developed, which I've never seen, but it was being developed that would provide that it had to be at least 20 acres, or the language would say that it had to be at least 20 acres, or the maximum would have to be would be 80 acres. So I would like to move that what we do is that consists of 20 or more acres and is not smaller than the average farm rural on the county producing $2,500 up to a maximum of 80 acres, at which point you don't have to be any bigger than 80 acres to site a farm-related dwelling. So that the biggest you'd have to come up with on a lot size would be 80 acres.
You can get one free after
80.
Well, it's a
gimme.
It's a gimme. It's sort of like a county with a minimum lot size.
Right.
At that point.
Which page would be on?
Seven.
Seven.
Representative Priestley.
Can anybody in support of this bill tell us what that might mean in wheat and farm areas, like wheat growing areas and whatever? If 80 is going to be the maximum? Can someone tell us about that?
Who's going to Ron?
Madam Chair, Ron Eber, DLCD. All I can tell you, there are counties in eastern Oregon with minimum lot sizes that are larger than that now, but that applies to land divisions, probably as well as existing lots and putting dwellings on them. So I don't know what the effect of the city would be on those. Wallowa County has 160, and some others do.
If you'll recall, Representative Bradbury, remember we're looking at this as a voluntary basis. Representative Bradbury, so if we see that this is...
Oh, I'm not familiar with what you're talking about in terms of effective date.
Well, we're looking at it as totally voluntary, and I'm saying...
Oh,
if it is too onerous,
I did not know that.
Okay, if it is too onerous, I'm sorry, you were out when we discussed that. We can come back and change it, but we might look and see what happens with this.
I withdraw my... if this is going to be completely optional, I withdraw my... proposed amendment.
Madam Chair.
I apologize, Madam Chair. I did not realize.
Representative Traeger.
Refresh my memory. Representative Bradbury and I had a concern about the two optional tests on the marginal land. Are those both in here?
Yes.
Remember we talked about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Madam Chairperson.
Representative Priestley.
Going to page 8, can we make my preference for golf courses on this page 8, but can I'd like to move to amend line 4 on page 8 to have after golf courses, comma. I think this is doing what I want to do. On 3 to 8, 12. Wasn't that in the previous draft?
In the previous draft.
Class 3.
In the previous draft, we voted on that and it was adopted to have golf courses. The motion was made to delete that language, Representative Priestley.
Well, now that we're going back to this voluntary business, can't we make this a good, you know, get back to a good program and make it voluntary? And
we can take a vote on it. Representative Priestley moves that golf courses be only on lands
3 to 5
or 3 to 8, so that they would not be on 1 through 2 classification. Clerk, would you call the roll?
Representative Parkinson?
No.
Representative Priestley?
Aye.
Representative Traeger?
No.
Representative Troop?
No.
Representative Van Loon?
No.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bradford?
No.
Representative Hill?
No.
Chair Hooley?
No. Motion fails.
Madam Chair?
Representative Anderson?
Madam Chair, I'd like to give a vote explanation before we move on.
Okay.
I think we'd already made that decision. I didn't want to go back on a discussion we'd had before the committee.
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, we moved Senate Bill 237 as amended. It used to be -47-1183 and hand engrossed as of 7/12.
Wouldn't we need to approve the amendments first?
Yeah, we need to. That's a motion to adopt the amendments on this bill. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, on page 7, where we were a while ago, line 8. Did we agree to leave that 2,500 in there, or was that a different figure?
Yes.
We agreed.
Representative Hill.
In our previous discussions, I thought that, I understand the bill has been changed from our previous discussions, but I understood we were going to include exception areas in applying the parcelized test. The way I read,
no,
on page 2 and page 3, it says that sub 4, that lots and parcels located within an area for which an exception has been adopted by the county shall not be included in calculation.
That is for the 240 acres which we adopted in committee. For the quarter mile perimeter, we would keep, you would use the exceptions.
My recollection.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Call for the question.
Clerk, would you call the roll? This is to adopt the amendments.
Representative Priestley?
Aye.
Representative Traeger?
Aye.
Representative Truth?
No.
Representative Van Loon?
Aye.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Bradbury?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
No.
Representative Parkinson?
Aye.
Chair Hooley?
Motion passes. Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, move Senate Bill 237 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Anderson moves Senate Bill 237 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Chair.
Representative question? Bradbury.
Could you just point me to where it says in these amendments that we've adopted that this would be optional, and that anywhere you, if you take any part of it, you take it all?
Yes, page 16, is it page 16? No,
section 16.
Page 19, section 16.
Apologize for...
Page again,
19, section 16.
Line 20.
Madam Chair?
Representative Troop.
I'll be voting no on the bill. I think it's pretty ludicrous to... pass a law and say that compliance with that law would be optional. I think that's a pretty silly concept, and we'll not be supporting the measure.
Okay. I need to point out one thing in the bill before we vote on it. On page 3, lines 20 through 23, Representative Anderson asked me how that was consistent with 2295. We can't make it consistent with 2295 yet, because 2295 is not law.
It's on the floor of the Senate.
But it will be. I mean, this eventually will be consistent, but the way it has to be worded, is that right, Elizabeth?
Yeah.
You can't refer to something that's not law. Okay. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair, just for the record, I would assume legislative council would make it consistent with 2295.
She didn't hear you.
Representative Priestley.
Yeah, I think following Tom's comments, I would expect, if I'm here at the legislature, which I don't expect to be next session, but if I were, I would be voting to make this law mandatory next session, I believe.
Okay. Clerk, would you call the roll?
Representative Strayhorn?
Aye.
Representative Troop?
No.
Representative Van Loon?
Aye.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Bradbury?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
No.
Representative Parkinson?
Aye.
Representative Priestley?
Aye.
Chair Hooley?
Aye. Motion passed.
Madam Chair?
Representative Hill.
I think there's many good things in the bill, but I'm not completely satisfied with it.
That's my truth.
In my mind, perhaps we could improve on several points. I'd like to have time to think about it, so I'd like to serve notice of a possible minority report.
Okay. If you're serving notice of a possible minority report, would you please let us know if you're not going to do it so we can get the committee report in immediately on this?
Madam Chair?
Representative Troop.
I would also like to serve notice of a possible minority report and would ask you to tell me when you anticipate that you would like to file the committee report so I can make my decision on your time schedule.
We would like to file it tomorrow morning.
Okay, what time tomorrow morning?